your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's your mom and
your
dad.
Clap it up for the family. Clap it up for the family. What is that?
That was like a very high energy way to start this episode. Well, I was feeling a little kind of sloth, a little kind of whatever, and you just popped me up.
Well, stop trying to control my energy.
Sorry.
What is it about singing songs? Like, I do think it's a personality type that is like, let's make things into songs. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like, yeah, I do it so. A lot. You never do it.
It's true. You and Ember do it right? All
like,
the what, time.
But I think it's like, people do that all the time. Like, I'll just be in rehearsals, be hanging, and someone will just be like, making a thing a song.
Are you trying to say you're more musical than me?
No. I'm not saying, I'm
I
saying.
I know you have a problem with my pitch,
no,
but.
Yeah. I'm saying, let's not make it a song, okay? No. Baby, it sounds like I love the idea of you making it like a poem. No, but like, I do think.
It's true. It is a thing.
You know what I mean? It's like the same things when it comes to people who talk to their dogs.
Yes,
in different ways.
Yes.
Like, I always make it a song with the dogs.
You always sing right? to the puppies.
And then other people would never do that. What
You're
is
like,
that? And it's not a musical thing.
That's true.
Because you'll even see just like random people who aren't musical at all are just being like, that's my dog. That's my dog bringing his bone over. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So like, if you are a neuroscientist, let's get to the bottom of this today.
You know what? But
that is a thing. I do truly think like everyone listening, there's going to be people listening like, oh, I sing to my dog every morning. I make up a new song. And then there's people who are listening and be like, what are you talking about?
It's kind of the people maybe who are dancing through life a little bit.
Dancing through life.
You know what I mean?
Dancing through life.
Ooh, part two's coming soon and I'm so excited. We've already got our tickets for multiple days. Wicked part two.
But I'm not dancing through life.
It's true, you're not. Our daughter definitely.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm not the guy, if you like describe Evan, a dancing through life. Definitely not.
But it's almost like you kind of make your life a musical all the time. Because you're always singing. And until our child
came. Not in an obnoxious way, guys, by the way. I'm not always singing like, it's really, it's like jokes, you know, so chill. Because if I heard someone's always singing, it is kind of brutal. Like, you know, that guy's always singing. It's like, ugh.
Speaking of musicals. Okay, this is going to somehow tie together. So hear me out. So obviously, our daughter always listening to musicals.
Always.
Lately, there's a specific musical that she's been listening to. Mm-hmm. And last week, you started the podcast episode by saying that you had a dream about The Bachelor. You had a dream
that you left me for Mel Owens. Yes.
Okay. So this week, this is not a bit. This week, I also had a Bachelor dream, but it was connected, I think, with obviously hearing and watching and talking about The Bachelor constantly and our daughter listening to a particular musical all the time. I had a dream two nights ago that, and I didn't see it in my dream, but I like read the article and found out in my dream that they were casting the next Bachelor and the next Bachelor was Shrek. And in my dream, I was like, that's a really good choice.
You know,
I was like, you know what? It's been better than our last two Golden Bachelors.
Honestly.
Like, you know what? If you think about now in my dream,
well, hold on. Just, Shrek would be good. But what happened to Fiona?
Well, in my dream, there just wasn't.
They're going through something.
It didn't work. It was something where I didn't even think about Fiona. It was like, well, Shrek's single. And I'm like, you know what? That's a really
good
idea.
Shrek's a great guy.
I'm like, you know what? Shrek. Yeah, he's got a lot of hardness around him. But as he calls himself, he's an onion. And you really peel the layers back.
Well, Shrek is absolutely hard exterior, soft interior guy. Like once they got past that, he became the kind of sad, insecure, like, you know, sensitive guy that we know and love now who's relatable. So Shrek would be an iconic. You know what? I ought to be honest with you. That would be a great like commercial for a new Shrek movie is to have him be like on The Bachelor a 2-minute segment.
But then,
you know?
Of course. And then you have to have Fiona bust in and be like, what the hell?
Exactly.
What the helly? You know what I mean?
What the helly? 6-7. Welcome to Brain Rot Hour.
But what, isn't it a good Bachelor choice?
I love
it. Isn't
honestly,
it so much better than our last few?
Because our current one is Frankenstein. So it'd be a difference
as
in
Jared
genre.
Fried, as Jared Fried acknowledged, you know, Mel. But you know what? listen, would Shrek be an ultimate bachelor? Yes, because he's got the onion thing, heart of gold. Also, can you imagine fantasy suites? They go back to the swamp. It's like, this is my hometown. Whoa. You get to meet Donkey and the gingerbread man.
Sure. I mean,
this is sounding top tier.
This is gold.
This is gold, you guys, okay? But he would be the best of the bachelors. And yeah. I don't know how old he is, so I don't know if he'd be considered bachelor or golden bachelor. I'm not sure of his age.
What is he? He's a ogre?
An ogre, yeah.
Yeah, are ogres like 2,000 years old? Or are they just like they live normal lives?
They're like 25.
Or are they like animals? You know, lived like to like 12?
Yeah. You know, that's a really good question.
You know what I mean? Like, are ogres like... yeah. Like, our ogre's like 800 years old.
Yeah, I feel like typically in fantasy things, you know,
they live really long. Your
specialities, like your dragons, your ogres, they're like thousands of years old.
Dragons, for sure, thousands of years
Maybe
old.
Maybe dragon next Golden Bachelor.
But the
dragon is hoarding their gold, right? That's like they're the golden bachelor because they have like a massive treasure back at their cave.
The tie-ins are sick.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
say ogre gives like not that long.
See, ogre to me gives like 150.
Okay.
And if he's 150, he's...
But in fantasy world, that's not long.
But here, he's considered a golden at 150.
Well, if he only lives to 150, then like, yeah, golden would be like 125, 130.
True. I guess, though, if he lives to like 800, then he's like...
And he still only dates women that are 27. He's like, only chick ogres who are like...
Chick ogres stop.
25 to 35.
I cannot.
Only batty ogres from 25 to 35. And you're like, even him?
Are all men the same?
Are all of them the same?
But we're not here to talk about Shrek. And Shrek would be the ultimate golden bachelor choice. But instead we have Mel Owens. And you know what? Initially, after watching this episode, and we still have a lot to say, I wanted to come in and I wanted to be like, I'm going to go off on Mel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which there will be moments because it is some of the wildest, most jaw-dropping fantasy suite conversations I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hold back on maybe the going off on as much because after hearing what's been going down, and by the way, I haven't even like listened to the entire episodes and the extent of everything, but what's going down with GGT, Jerry Turner Bachelor,
right.
Mel Owens is looking pretty damn good.
Yeah, like
okay?
Mel Owens only saying, Mel Owens only saying like, yeah, I kind of have a, you know, I kind of like younger women is now,
it's now the, not looking,
like really not a big
deal.
It's
not looking so bad. So you know what? I need to dive into what's going on with GGT. Shout out Dear Shandy had an episode with Teresa on who's like talking about her side of it. Shout out, we love. I need to dive into the Teresa side because I was seeing clips from that and my job. I could not even believe that GGT, like, I can't even, I'm not even going to go there because I don't know all the details. But my point is after seeing some of the clips, Mel Owens not looking so bad anymore, which shows that this franchise, what's happening?
What's happening?
We're going to talk about it. But first, we need to take a quick pause. So I know spooky season has passed us, even though, I mean, kind of, it was kind of like spooky season for Mel this last episode with like the whole love thing and the stingrays.
Sure.
It was kind of season.
Yeah, it was just Halloween
moment
for
Mel. But you know that spooky moment when you open your bank app and you're like, where did all my money go? Because, hey, same. Turns out it was quietly disappearing into random subscriptions, a tarot card app that I used twice, a documentary service I swear I didn't sign up for, and something called Daily Owl Facts. Don't ask. This is what happens when I turn my back on the crows for a moment, okay? But thank goodness for Rocket Money because they found every single one of them and helped me cancel what I didn't need. It's honestly like having a super organized best friend who tracks your spending minus the judgment. Thank you. Rocket Money is the personal finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can actually grow your savings.
Yeah, Rocket Money has totally changed the game for us. It lays out everything in one easy-to-read dashboard. Bills, paydays, and all your expenses right there in one place, which is super nice. You can even set up custom budgets automatically based on your spending habits, which has been huge, huge, huge for us. And if you've got savings goals in mind, Rocket Money can analyze your accounts to figure out the best time each month to put a little extra aside. It's basically doing all the number crunching for you, which I appreciate because that stuff, takes way longer than you think it's going to. You're always like, oh my shit, I'll put a little budget together. And then like 4 days later, yeah, you're like, I'm over it.
Rocket Money, it's a game changer. Hear me out. When people don't have it, I'm like, I just don't understand why you don't have it. Like, it's just the best.
I guess you don't want to help.
I guess you don't want help.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know,
they're not our friends anymore.
But also, let me tell you about my favorite part. Rocket Money will even negotiate lower bills for you. I'm serious. They actually contact customer service so you don't have to, which is an absolute gift for those of us with phone call anxiety. Hi, it's me. Rocket Money has saved users over $2.5 billion, including over $880 million in canceled subscriptions alone. Their 10 million members save up to $740 a year when they use all of the app's premium features. We are some of those happy members. We are so grateful for Rocket Money. So if you're tired of wasting money on things you don't use, go check it out. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/momdad today. That's rocketmoney.com/momdad. rocketmoney.com/momdad. Okay. So, before we start this recap, speaking of fantasy,
yes,
family. Okay. Next week, we have two episodes. You all know that we're going to be starting a Love is Blind breakdown recap here soon, but we're going to do that after the Golden Bachelor ends, not next week, but the following week. So next week, we have two episodes. We're going to have the finale Golden Bachelor episode come out on Friday, but on Wednesday, it's been a minute. So we're going to drop a little D&D episode for our fantasy fans. We're going to do a D&D episode. I'm so excited. And this time, I think it's going to be an extra special episode because we are going to have a special guest. A very special guest who's never been on the podcast before, who's very dear to our hearts, who's been asking to be on the podcast for quite some time, who lives in our home with us. Yes. I'll leave it at that. I believe that individual will be joining us for the D&D podcast. It will be, I think, electric.
It will be insane.
It will be wild. So it's going to be a good time.
I do not know what we're going to do.
But this individual, as soon as they found out that we have a D&D episodes that we do, she was like, please, please, please.
Yes.
And I said, okay, little queen, we shall do this. Yes. So that's going to be on Wednesday, next Wednesday, and then tune in on Friday for the Golden Bachelor finale after the final rose recap, and then the following week we're going to dive into Love is Blind, which I'm very, very excited about. Okay, let's talk about this episode. So this episode was essentially part one of the fantasy suites because we didn't see the entirety of the fantasy suites because it cut off after Mel and Cindy's wild conversation. They're stunning dinner.
It was stunning.
It was so stunning. So they're in Antigua, which is
stunning, beautiful,
absolutely magical,
majestic,
absolutely magical. And somehow Mel made it sleepy.
He also said he's a city guy, and I'm like, he lives in like Newport.
Yeah. He was an LA guy for a long time. And then I forget where he lived before. He is a city guy, born and raised in a city, LA. Now he's moved. I know you're trying to do. Now he's moved to Orange County.
Yeah.
He maybe considers that a city too.
Isn't that the beach? Isn't there the ocean there? Maybe he just never goes to the water, never goes in the ocean. Maybe just like looks at it like a painting.
He wasn't giving me goes in the ocean often energy during this episode.
No, pool guy, big pool energy.
Big pool guy.
Big pool
probably
guy.
Has a pool in his backyard.
100%.
That's where he stays, has a nice little barbecue, and then has himself a burger.
Yeah,
and
not
then
a big nature guy.
No. But it's going to be the overnights. Mel lets us know at the very beginning that he knows that the fantasy suites is about more than just intimacy.
Yeah.
It's about having time off camera to talk.
And he's like, they are currently holding me hostage to say this because deep down I don't agree with these, but in my contract it says I have to say that intimacy is more than just having sex. I don't know what that means. No one still has described what intimacy is other than hooking up, but they have said that this is what the bachelor should say. And so I am repeating the words that have been handed to me in this ITM.
I know that earlier in the season, I said, for me, I take physical touch over emotional connection and passion over loyalty always.
And I said, my number one love language is blowjobs. I said that.
Stop!
I said that. And then they said that wasn't one of the five love languages. they were talking about, you know, gifts, and I said that, and then they said that's not, you can't add a sixth.
And then they edited that part out.
And they took that part out, and then they overdubbed me using AI saying, you know, words of affirmation or something, and then they cut the whole segment just because it was too much of a problem.
Well, I have to tell you, the scene where him and Jesse Palmer, they're tossing the football, they're throwing their friendship in my face. After last week, I was like, I don't think Jesse Palmer and Mel Owens like each other. It was almost like the franchise like re-edited it and then threw it in my face. Be like, watch them throw a football around and then have a beer. But let me tell you what, that was the most awkward beer that's ever been beered on the franchise ever. They literally throw the football around, barely speak.
They throw the football once. In his like orthopedics or whatever the shoes are.
Which, can they stop talking about these shoes? I mean, they just look like shoes.
Right.
And I'm like, is that the only interesting fact?
They're trying to be like old guy shoes, you know? They're trying to make a joke about
it. They just look like shoes.
Like they're not weird enough.
No,
you know, they should have pulled out like some weird ones to make it more of a joke or something.
For it to be like a whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this really the only exciting?
Is this what you? Is this the best writing you have?
That we're just gonna focus on the shoes and talk about it every single time they're together. Like, what else we got? But they throw the football once and they're like, watch this, Jessica. They are friends. And then they sit down for this beer. And I swear, Evan, when they sat down, it was like a scene from a show like Parks and Rec or The Office.
Yeah.
Where Jesse is, bless Jesse, is trying to fill the space. They sit down, dead silence.
Dead silence.
Take a sip of beer. And Jesse's like, oh, it's good stuff.
Good beer.
Good stuff.
It's like when two dads are at like a birthday. And it's the kid's birthday and all the moms are like hanging out and they know each other.
Yeah, and the dad's
sitting there and he has to talk to like Jeff, who's just like this guy who like he kind of thinks is weird. And they're just sitting there and just like, Sue, how long you had a kid for or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like it was giving. They were stuck at the party together and they had to kind of talk.
But what Mel Owens always does, and he does this later with the Stingrays. He's done this in Peg's home with Dakota. When this man stands firm, he stands firm. So when they sat to have a beer, he would not speak first.
He's fearless in his silence.
He is fearless in his silence. And you know
silence
what?
Silence runs from him. You know what I mean? Like people talk about like the fear of awkward.
Yes.
Awkward tension and silence. Yes. Awkward tension and silence runs when they see him coming. That's how comfortable he is in it. They're like, we can't even handle how awkward the silence is.
He's kind of become a little bit of a hero for me in that.
Is he kind of a Zen lord because he's so good at it?
Like, yeah, honestly,
he's unshakable.
One of my biggest weaknesses is not being able to sit in silence.
Like filling awkward silence.
I have to fill. Right. And then at dinner parties, whatever, I walk away and I'm like, Jessica, you just rambled at those people
just to fill
for
it.
God knows how long because you were uncomfortable in the silence. I'm trying to learn a little bit from Mel Owens because he sat with Jesse and he would not speak. He would not initiate the conversation. And it was almost like, again, it was like a Parks and Rec. It was like a Ron Swanson moment where he's like, you know, the weaker man speaks first. And so he then just was like, I won't address him first.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a showdown.
But he did address him. And it was a fantastic conversation because Jesse's like, so where are you at with these women? You know, like, are you going to tell them anything?
Yeah.
And then he goes, and this is like Mel's like number one thing is like, I don't want to tell anyone I love them because you know how women are.
That is not what he said.
But it's giving a little bit of that, like, you know, if you tell these women you love them, then they become attached. It's a whole nightmare.
It is giving that a little bit of an undercurrent.
It's giving this like, I don't hand out my golden blessing to anyone.
It is giving that a little bit, and it's like misogynist boomer energy.
It's giving like, you know, these women, they always get a little too attached. So you have to be really clear with them. So his whole thing is like, I don't want to tell anyone I love them, which is super valid, by the way. Sure. I'm making jokes. It's super valid to be like, I don't want to tell a bunch of people I love them and then go back in time, all this stuff.
Actually, we talked about it last week.
I agree with him. I appreciate it. I agree with him 100% that like you shouldn't be tossing out the L word if you don't mean it. So that, on the top level, agreed.
Yes.
What's hilarious is Jesse kind of agreeing with all of us, being like, totally, and I agree with you.
Here,
but you know that you can tell them anything about how you feel. Like, it's not zero to I love. You can also throw in a, it means so much to spend time with you, and I'm feeling so connected with you, and before I met you, I didn't think this. Like, there's so many things that happen to love, right? Like, in real life, it would be like 15 dates, 25 dates.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot to love. 25 dates is a lot.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I think you took me on three before you told me that you loved me.
Cut that, Lee. cut that. And then let's go back in. And like I was saying, but what I'm saying is that, like, it's hilarious that Jesse's calling him out in that way, being like, you know, there's like other things you can say other than love. And it was just really funny to see him kind of call him out for it. Like, it was like straight up called him out.
It was. And it was also very like big producer energy.
Yes.
Because he was pushing him, saying, hey, just FYI, you only have like one more day. So yeah, you need to get on a knee in about 24 hours. So you got to, or like about 48, you got to figure this out fast, my guy.
Yeah.
So he was like producer pushing him.
For sure.
But the thing that was then kind of like unbelievably iconic is that Mel just then wouldn't, he just wouldn't budge.
No, he's just like,
he was like, I don't care if all the producers and Jesse and all of America is telling me to say anything to them. I just won't budge. And I agree with you, because there's the one half of me that like really appreciates him not yanking anyone's chain by being
honest.
Like, hey, you know what? If I'm not in love with them, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to put anybody in a situation, because what if I say I love you to the other one person and then say it to the other and then they're heartbroken after? And you know what? Again, going back to GGT, look what happened.
Yeah.
And he hurt a bunch of women in the process.
No.
And this happens often on the show. You hurt a bunch of people versus sometimes being like, you know what? But where then I either agree with you is that you could also say other things to them just as like human conversation.
Yeah, it's very funny.
You know what, though? He did kind of take Jesse's advice a little bit, because I don't know if you noticed this. When he saw Peg and when he saw Cindy, he immediately goes, I missed you.
I mean, yeah, that's something.
And you know what? I noticed that, because he hasn't said that at all, even something close to that.
If you give someone so little, then if you give them something tiny, they're so grateful.
He said it to Peg, and I think she like talked over him, and he like told her again. He was like, I really did. I missed you.
And he said the exact same thing to Cindy again. So it's like he definitely did a little bit of a copy-paste thing there, but it's something.
He did miss them, and he enjoys their company, and he communicated that he missed them. And so he took Jesse Palmer's advice a little bit. Did he tell them like his deep feelings? No.
Right.
But he did say he missed them.
Fascinating.
So that is something to note. But then we get into Peg's overnight.
Yeah.
And that was another moment that the editing team, they really made me giggle during this portion, because when it's Peg's overnight and he pulls up in that dune buggy and they have the shot of him driving for so long, Evan, it's dead silence. And his face, he was driving like this whole time.
Well, no, he's got that. That's the Franken face, because he did the same thing with the fireworks. Whenever he stands out and he looks, There's no expression. Nothing. It's just
so he's driving a dune buggy, which should produce some sort of expression. And he's expressionless driving this dune buggy to one of his final women. Not a smile, not a crack, nothing. No. And we just have a dead silence. And we see him, so much opportunity of him driving, so long of a shot. And it reminded me of like seeing somebody. It felt so unnatural, because it was like seeing somebody on a roller coaster who's not either laughing, smiling, or screaming. Right. He was just like this on a roller coaster.
It's like one of the, it's like you're doing double flips and you're just like this.
It was so
super interesting. Also, I still, he always talks about how he's like, he loves adventure and he's youth and he, all this stuff. And it's like, nothing about him says risk, adventure, youth.
Yeah, I don't know, Evan.
Like, he's never doing any, like, everything that he, they put him in that's like semi-adventurous, he's not into it.
No.
Super weird.
I think he just wants to then, like, have the glass of champagne afterwards.
I think it's just, I think it's just his way of saying, yeah, like, I want a young woman. Because it's like, you know, young and adventurous and fun. It's like, I want them to be that way.
Well, and he, even when he compared a couple times at the top, he was like, Peg, we, like, match each other's energy. And I'm like, dude, sir.
I couldn't feel so far from that.
Sir, no. You guys do not match each other's
not
energy
even close.
When he's driving up in dead silence with a serious no expression and she's woo, she kept just wooing into
just
dead silence,
some energy woo! going,
and then he pulls up the dune buggy and she's like woo,
and he's like,
and he gets at it like this,
he's like this.
The dichotomy was artistry.
And then she gets, and so then they go on their ride together and she's like, this is insane. Is there something wrong with this dune buggy? Like,
it's what, going won't go so fast.
He's
slow.
Killing me here. And then they switch and she hits it and his life flashes before his eyes. Like, that was the most expression I've ever seen from him. It's just like his lips went white and he like pinched him and he was like scared for his life. His eyes, like, there was multiple times where he was legit scared.
Well, then I love it.
She like tore ass. She was just like, it was just like, let's go.
I love it. ITMs. Then afterwards,
like, I felt.
He goes, I felt safe because
she made me feel safe.
Because she's a safety person, right? So I knew that
I was going to be okay. Yeah,
I know that
funny.
She's a firefighter. So if there's an emergency, she's going to protect me.
Yeah, it was actually really funny.
It was very funny.
It was
funny.
Like, cute.
It was sweet.
It's like, she made me feel safe.
Because she's a safety person.
Because of her job.
But also because she's a safety person. The word safety person
is crazy.
Kind of iconic.
Yeah, he's so incredibly unadventurous. It's incredible.
And Peg is just
Peg's
wild.
Ripping.
She's ripping.
She's got energy for days.
She is laughing so hard. I mean, she's just having an amazing time. Then after they have their life flashing before his eyes, dune buggy adventure, they end up having a sit down conversation.
It's a great combo.
This is a fantastic, powerful, deep,
real good back and forth
conversation. Yes, very back, big back and forth.
Learned a lot.
But before we talk about that, let's take another quick pause, family. So listen, I don't really think we'll be seeing Mel propose to someone and then watch as they move in together and create a home with each other. But I am officially in my home makeover era, okay? And I blame Article. Article.com, baby. Every time I scroll their site, I find another piece that makes me want to redecorate an entire room. I am not kidding. Our house is basically an Article showroom at this point. The couch, the chairs, the dining room table, even the outdoor set. And every single piece has held up so beautifully. The quality is chef's kiss. You can feel it the second it arrives, the weight, the craftsmanship, the smooth edges. It's giving forever furniture, and the prices, baby. Article.com. There is a reason that we have continued to shop there for our furniture over the years. It's because it's amazing. It's the best.
Yeah. And what I love is how easy they make it to create a space that actually looks intentional. Article has this amazing curated range, mid-century modern, coastal, Scandinavian inspired, and everything looks great together. You don't have to be a designer to make your home look super cohesive. It's all thoughtfully designed, high quality pieces that actually last. We've had our dining table for years and it looks brand new even after the kiddo and the dogs and 1,000 dinner spills and everything. It seriously holds up incredible. Looks amazing.
It's really amazing. And don't even get me started on how easy the process is. The shipping is fast and affordable across the US and Canada. And if you want a hands-off experience, you can even choose professional assembly. Their customer care team is incredible too. Oh my gosh, they're available 7 days a week, and they even offer free interior design services to help you pick the perfect pieces for your home. I mean, can you believe? They're incredible. And if you somehow don't fall in love with what you ordered, they've got a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. So truly, zero stress. So If you're ready to elevate your home like we did, Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/momdad and the discount will automatically be applied at checkout. That's article.com/momdad for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. So back to Peg and Mel after their dune buggy adventure. They sit down and she right away tells him, she's like, listen, you passed the Dakota test. And he's like, did I? He's like, really? And I'm like, I don't think so.
No, she's being nice.
But I think she's being nice. But he's like, huh? Mm-hmm. That was that. She liked me. But we then end up hearing from Peg. She like ends up opening up a lot more. And she talks about how she's always been the protector of her family. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't been able to translate into a relationship. That she got cheated on in her last relationship. And that's why for her, like, it's a slow, slow burn.
Yeah.
That's why she has some of her walls up. Obviously, so understandably so. And that this whole journey is going to be a slow burn for her. But once you're in with her, it's like deep, deep love. So she's giving him everything that essentially he said he wanted. Because in ITMs earlier, he said, well, she's got her guard up. So I need to see if she'll let her guard down for me. And I'm like, here's the thing, Mel. To ask someone to let their guard down, you also should let your guard down as well. It should be a little tit for tat here, correct?
Yes, I agree with you. I don't think he has his guard up. I don't think there's anything behind the gate. There is no, you know what I mean?
Really?
There's nothing he's guarding.
Oh, I think there's a trove.
Like, I don't think he's this, like, super... I don't think everyone needs to be dynamic characters in life. I think he's a simple guy. I think he's, like, belly, lovemaking, kicking
belly?
It.
Belly?
Like, food. Like, I just think he's, like... You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's kind of, like... I don't think he's, like, this guy who wants all these layers, and I just... And I need to talk... I don't think he's that guy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, I don't think he's, like, Mr... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just not getting, like... There's this onion going on.
Okay. Interesting.
So maybe he's got his guard up. Maybe he's also just kind of like.
Like maybe you think maybe he feels like he's being really vulnerable in this
experience.
I
don't even think he clocks. I think he's just an old school. I don't think he clocks with like, I'm being vulnerable and he's my feelings. I just don't think he goes there. I don't think he has that gear. I think he's just like, what's your vibe? Let me see if this works. I like spending time with you. Straight up. I mean.
Interesting take.
Personally. I'm not getting the, like, he's this layered guy behind all these things.
So you think he's just being super vulnerable as he is?
Yeah,
that's
even,
his version of vulnerability.
Yeah, because even the next morning with Peg, she's like, yeah, my story destroyed yours. And he's like, yeah, true. So his, like, big reveal of his personal life and his trauma or whatever, she was kind of like, oh. And then she told me, she's like, I told you mine, and it blew his out of the water. I'm saying, I don't think he's Mr. like, here's who I am, and this is all we got to work through it.
Interesting take. Interesting
take. That's my
take. Well, the pinnacle of the conversation is when she opens up her heart.
Yeah.
She really reveals everything. And then she's like, so how do you think it's going with us? And he says, good. And she says, how are you feeling about us? And he says, good. How about that dune buggy?
Yeah.
That was...
And I loved it because it was so... For a second, I thought it was cut weird. Because it was so awkward.
Yeah.
That I thought they cut it. And it was like, okay, we're just... They're giving us a funny edit. But her reaction was so funny because it was so crazy that like she laughed. You know when you...
She
when
something's
so far beyond like weird to you that you can't even like take it offensively or get tweaked about it. You have to just laugh because it was so insane. Like her being like, this is our moment to connect. And he goes, how about them dune buggies? And he didn't even say it in a way too that he wasn't like, he said it like he stumbled over his words too. Like, I don't want to talk about this. How about the dune buggies? And they weren't even talking about the dune buggies.
This is why, by the way, I think you're wrong in your assessment.
Okay.
Because I think when she's like, so how's this thing going?
Right.
And he goes, good.
Good.
And she says, how are you feeling about us? And he goes, good.
Yeah.
And then he stumbles and he goes, so those dune buggies.
Yeah.
I think he has a wall up because there's something there that he doesn't want to go. And also, in my opinion, same thing too. When later, when they're in the fantasy suite and the next morning, she hears the story. I think he's probably given her a little piece of the story. which is why I'm always like, hey, I want to hear other perspectives and other sides. I think he's trying to divert and he doesn't want to go there.
Interesting.
I don't think it's like a, oh, I don't know how to go there. I think it's like, no, I don't want to go there.
Interesting.
I don't want to do this on television. You're not my wife yet, so I don't want to go there. You don't get to know who I am until you're married to me.
Huh.
Until you're the second person that I've loved, you do not get to know me yet. I couldn't believe that on the show, that on The Bachelor, we had a moment where a contestant says to the lead, how do you feel about us at Fantasy Suites? And our lead said, good. How about those dune buggies? I was screaming. Like, I couldn't even believe it. It was, in a terrible way, one of the more iconic things I've ever seen in this franchise.
Yeah, it just kind of, it was almost like at some point halfway through the show, he's kind of like, I can't wait to get out of here.
He's like, I'm good.
You know what I mean?
I'm ready to go home.
Because I would think the Peg thing would be ideal for him.
Yes.
Where it's like, Peg's the one that's kind of like hesitant and not giving herself fully over. If you were to create an archetype of his worst fears, she seems to be the opposite of that. So him being like, I need more from her was strange to me. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, doesn't this kind of right up your alley? You know what I mean? Like, you kind of want someone who's mellow that you can grow with. So it, I don't know. It was like, I can't tell where he's at with Peg.
Do you think
like
that
either he's the most into her or he's completely over her? But I can't clock. I think they have so much fun together, but I'm like, that seems to be what he's looking for.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time too, because I would imagine, but here's the thing. We talked about this a little bit last week. She wants the fireplace.
Yeah.
And I think he feels that even though she is a slow burn, she's not like saying I'm here for the passion. But she is fireworks in and of herself. She is just
she's
a walking firework.
Combo.
She's an amazing combination.
She wants the chill.
Yeah.
But she's got tons of life.
But
so it's the perfect mix.
But she wants the fireplace.
Which is
commitment. I don't think that's not
solid,
what he wants to give. And I think there's that underlying feeling versus later.
Like
when
she's
we,
more serious.
Later when we hear from Cindy and Cindy's like, I want sparks. I want passion. And so I think that's appealing to him, that he wants also passion and just you know, a zest for like the spicy things in life together, and a woman like Cindy who's just like, oh my god, Mel, you're so charismatic, you're so amazing, da, 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 da. The problem is,
but she pressed him way harder.
But that's the problem, because Cindy says she doesn't want a fireplace.
She does.
Even let's just say she does want a fireplace, which I think she does too. I think she wants both.
I think she wants it more.
But I think the problem is that she also though wants passion. He's not giving passion either.
Right.
So he's not giving fireplace. He's not giving, I want a long-term commitment, but he's also not giving, I'm going to sweep you off your feet and we're going to have a love affair of the century.
Let's talk about
he's
this a little
giving
bit.
Giving kind of like a couch.
Yeah, let's talk about this a little bit after the Cindy thing too, because I kind of want to wrap it in a bow, because I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, because I have thoughts on this.
Well, okay, so she's like so
she's
thrown
off
and she's like,
so
well, he's deflecting that, but we'll see how dinner goes. They end up having their night portion. They have this gorgeous band on the beach. It's absolutely epic. It's stunning. And she's like, hey, I need to see if Mel is emotionally available, if he can go deeper for me. Their conversation is a conversation that would be happening, I feel like, with two people who are actually like admitting that they like each other.
Yeah.
Not at the precipice of potential engagement. This is like two people who have been friends for a while who are like, I think I kind of like you.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
We both got divorced, but we knew each other when we were married. And I kind of always had a crush on you, but whatever. And then it's like, I kind of like you.
I kind of like you.
That was the energy.
I don't know you super well, but I kind of like you.
Like, it was really nice meeting you 2 days ago. And like, it's kind of, I kind of have a crush on you.
It is very far from getting married.
I like
energy.
You. Yeah. He says, I like you a lot. And I want to kind of continue to pursue this.
Yes.
Which is what you say, like episode 3 or 2.
But of course, you know, he loves her spirit. He loves all these things. She's doing the heavy lifting during this conversation by a mile.
She's doing chemistry.
She's doing a fantastic job. She's doing everything she can to kind of like
very funny with the prenup comment. You know, she's like, I don't know what you'd be if we are going to get married. You know, I'm going to get a prenup because you're not going to get my shit. Like, that was very funny.
I was like, I stood up. I was like, you tell him, queen.
This is
you
so
make
funny.
It clear. And I also kind of live for the fact that she sang this to like the a guy who supposedly the guy that maybe has player. It all
that like women would he would have to tell the woman, hey, we're getting a prenup.
I
by
love
the way.
That she's like, yeah, you know what? Just FYI, I've been working my fucking ass off.
Yeah, I've been diffusing
and
bombs
you are
for
staying
30 years.
Far away from my shit, so sir. Funny. I that loved was it. Everything. And he looked thrown off.
Yeah, but I think he probably, as a lawyer especially, being like, oh, wow, that's a load off. I don't have to have the awkward conversation of prenups and whatever.
Yeah.
So this is even, she's even more like on my speed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just,
she's already
there.
Well, it starts thundering and lightning. He's asking if it's a sign, mm-hmm. and they decide that they want to explore further, and they're yes. going to go into the fantasy suite. Now, this is a pivotal moment for me. When they go into the fantasy suite, okay, they go out to the balcony, and the band is now still there,
sure.
facing them.
Yes.
And she starts laughing yeah. because it's funny.
Yeah.
Because there's that piece in your brain that it's like in a movie where the one character shows up in every circumstance. Yeah. You know, he's the fashion designer. He's the barista. He's whatever.
Sure.
It's, so the fact that it's like, there was something laughable about everywhere I turn, the band is facing me and singing. There's comedy in it. He finds it zero funny.
Zero funny.
And he goes, they're doing the Sunshine Band.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah.
Starts singing to it. Yeah.
Pivotal moment.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, Peg, you know you both are on such separate pages.
Big time.
You're having a giggle because you're like, oh, it's kind of comedic that
right.
the band is showing up everywhere we go.
Correct.
And Mel is not clocking this at all.
No, zero.
He's like, don't you
he doesn't
like-
clock anything. He's just chilling.
He's just enjoying his champagne.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's where I'm like, this is a pivotal moment. But then they start making out.
Yeah.
They're having some serious mm-hmm. makeout moments. And Peg made me laugh so hard in ITMs. She's like, okay, everyone, you can leave. Don't come a knocking if it's a rockin'. Right. And I'm like, oh, I want to be Peg one day. Yeah. She's so fun.
She's like, don't stop. I'm just kidding. Blah, blah, blah. You know,
but
she's
just so fun.
Very
and it's
fun.
Just like, hey, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're going to hook up. We're going to have yeah. a good time. Like, we'll see where this goes. She's having a blast. We see them the next morning. Of course, clothes are all over the floor. Now, Mel is in a different zone.
This is interesting.
Mel is now sprawled.
He's leaned back, sprawled, and he's making comments like you would if you were like 18. You
a
know what I mean?
Teenage
he's like very
vibe.
Just like, well, we're not going to talk about what happened last night because it's very naughty and bad, right? And she's a little bit like, yeah, it was a really nice night. Like it was great. And I feel like we really connected. And he's like, yeah, because of the sex. I mean, don't say it. We're not allowed to say that, but it was awesome. It was a little, you know what I mean? It was like, okay, we get it, Mel. Like we all know what that is. You don't need to be like over the top with like the innuendo. Like we get it.
The energy difference was palpable.
Yeah.
Where he went from being stiff, you know, here's the Sunshine Band, to no shirt, legs, man spreading in yeah. his sweats, being like, so we can't really talk about how
we were like one moment away from a cigarette.
We can't really talk about how crazy last yeah. night was. And the vibe that I was getting from Peg is that she didn't
that
find it to be that crazy.
Yeah, because she didn't mention like anything about like the physical chemistry. It was all, we had some great conversations. We finally opened up about some things. We told each other some stories. But and he was kind of like, she'll be dreaming about that for weeks.
And she was like, she
was
literally
like,
said, "That yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, it was
she
nice.
She said, it was nice.
Yeah, like.
So the vibe I'm getting is that
maybe the sex won't be the leading thing for Peg. That Peg isn't like, yeah, that's going to be a problem for me. I'm, you know, mesmerized by the sack.
No.
You know.
I got the vibe that he was mesmerized after a night with Peg.
He was mesmerized by his own idea of what it was for, like to her.
Or she's absolutely mesmerizing. But Peg was a little bit like, yeah, it's fine.
I mean,
but we had good.
It happened, but what's more important is we had great conversations.
But we had a good conversation yeah. and we opened up, and that's good.
Yeah.
And the final moment. Oh, they also mentioned too that they like have lived very similar paths.
Yeah.
So they felt like they understood each other better. And she's like, hey, you know what? After last night, I see that he can open up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not concerned about that anymore. Yeah. So obviously, again, maybe off camera he's chit-chatting yeah. it up, but on camera he's
yeah, who
just
knows?
Stiff as a board.
Yeah.
But craziest moment, even more so than good, mm-hmm. where's the dune buggy? My number one moment in this episode was they're on the beach. They kiss each other and say goodbye. Kiss, he looks at her, he goes, goodbye. He turns around and he walks. Mm-hmm. He walks a mile and like he
so far.
Never turns around no. once. Yeah. He kisses her.
Yeah.
After their night together.
And she like watches him for a mile.
He kisses her. Bye. And not even like a goodbye, I'll miss you. Just kiss. Bye. Turns around and walks. And the man never looks back one yeah. time. And I watched like a hawk. And they filmed him. And she stared at him. And he never turned around. Not one turnaround wave. Yeah. Just trudging through the sand for a mile. And honestly, inspirational. You never look back.
You never look back. You never question yourself.
You never question your decisions.
Make them question everything they know.
That was wild.
It was crazy just to be like,
I'll never get over it. Honestly, I want to see that scene.
So funny.
I want to see that scene over and over again. And if you didn't notice, please go back and watch it and you'll have a laugh. No look back.
Insane.
And I will say confidently that's never happened once on our screens ever.
No, there's always something.
I'm going to say it confidently. Every single time, fantasy suite, it's kiss, kiss, kiss. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss yeah. you. And they walk off and they turn around, they wave, mm-hmm. they blow a kiss. It's never happened once. I believe it wholeheartedly that you turn around and you never look back.
Never look back. 10 toes down.
Anyway.
Dead it.
He deaded it.
He deaded it.
Let's talk about Cindy's
turn
overnight. But first, let's take another quick pause, family. So let's be real. This season has been a little crappy.
No, what are you talking? Oh, yeah, it's true.
It's been a little crappy. But let me tell you something that is quite the opposite of crappy. I'll set the scene. It's been one of those days. The to-do list just didn't get done. The house is in complete chaos. And the only moment of peace I've had, it's when I sit down on our tushy bidet. I am not kidding. It is one of my consistent acts of self-care, okay? The tushy makes me feel like I've got my life together, even when everything else is falling apart. It's that daily luxury moment that resets me and resets my butt, to be quite frank. It's the modern bidet that transforms your bathroom routine. Instead of wiping endlessly with toilet paper, Tushy uses clean, fresh water to gently remove 99% of bacteria while protecting your skin barrier. So it's not just clean, it's like better for you clean.
It always makes me laugh, like when I think about people, like people talk, when they use the example of just like, if you had poo on your arm, you wouldn't just grab like a piece of paper and just wipe it and just go back to work. You'd be like, oh my God,
it's
I gotta
true.
Like, you know what
get
I mean?
Get that water
but
on
like,
it.
On or but for some reason, everyone's just like, oh yeah, it's cool. You just like put some paper and just wipe it and it's still there, but
no.
You're like, whatever.
Get
the
your
tushy is
okay.
incredible. And it's also shocking how easy it is to set up. It installs right onto your toilet. In under 10 minutes, no plumber, no tools, no mm-hmm. problem. I actually installed ours while Jess was reading a highly spicy scene in one of her books.
Oh, yeah, it was.
She came in like, did you just make the bathroom fancy? And I did. Plus,
so
it looks really, really sleek. It's not bulky or weird. And the best part, you end up using way less toilet paper, up to 80% less. So it's better for the planet and your wallet. You're saving money, feeling cleaner. And honestly, once you try it, you'll never want to go back.
When I tell you, Evan is obsessed with the tushy, like you would not believe. I adore our tushy. It has changed my life. Evan can't like go. We can't go anywhere
now.
When
I go to other places, I'm always just like, oh.
It's a struggle.
No.
Like a hotel, it's a struggle for him. Someone else's house, he's like, oh God, I need my tushy. Yeah. You are truly obsessed with it. And we've actually put one in our other bathroom, the bathroom that the guests use, because once people try it, they instantly become obsessed. And there's nothing more fun than, you know, treating your guests of to course. Something special, okay? It's gentle, soothing, and way more hygienic. No irritation, no waste, just comfort. Every Hello Tushy bidet comes with a 30-day hassle-free return and a 12-month warranty, so there's zero stress in trying it out. So if you've been curious, take this as your sign. Make your bathroom the spa moment it deserves to be. Remember, a hole is only a naughty word if you wipe. okay? For a limited time, our listeners get 10% off their first bidet order when you use code MOMDAD at checkout. That's 10% off your first bidet order at HelloTushy.com with promo code MOMDAD. So next we have Cindy's overnight date, and she starts it off right away by saying that this is the longest that they've been apart. She's imagined him getting down on one knee a million times. I mean, this woman is a romantic.
She's very into this thing. She's very complimentary. She's very swept up in this experience.
She is.
She probably
watched
the show a lot. Like, yes. She's definitely, like, you can tell Peg, like, has seen a season, maybe.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, I know that show's been
around a long
time. Yeah,
Dakota watches it. She pops in and out. Yeah, yeah.
But you could tell that Cindy is the opposite. Cindy's seen every season. She's a big fan of it. She loves the romance. It's exciting. She's in LA, like, she's here for the thing.
I just want you to know, Cindy, if you're listening to this, I have so many books that I could recommend for you. Yes. That I'm like, you know what, real life can be kind of I got so many romantic books for you that would just change your life, baby girl. But saying that it's the longest we've been apart made me giggle because it's like maybe a couple days and they've only known each other
for
a couple weeks. But it just is like, you know what, what Cindy does is Cindy romanticizes her life.
Yes.
She really does. Now, could there heartbreak could be a result of it? Sure. But at the end of the day, another inspirational thing for us to take away from. You know what? It could hurt, but at least you felt that romantic, that energy where it's just like everything is just like, he's my moon and my stars. Yes. And it's the longest we've been apart. You know.
She also is very good. Like we talked about this last time. She knows how to talk to him.
Oh, yes, she does.
Because she's kind of immediately showering him. Like, she gets in the car with him. They're driving away. You look amazing. You look so good. You look so good. And he's like, thank you.
He
doesn't say it back. He just like,
of course not.
But I'm just saying, she's very like complimentary. She's kind of showering him constantly.
He later on the boat, there's a moment where she's like, well, obviously it went so amazing with my family because who couldn't love you? You're so charismatic. And I'm like, do we know the same person? But it's just compliments. Like,
it's lies, but they're good. You know what I mean? They're like romance lies. They're like, you're telling someone what someone wants to hear versus the truth.
Now, a shout out to Cindy is that she says in the ITM, she's like, every minute that I'm not with Mel, I'm wondering if he's with Peg. And you know what Cindy did well? Cindy started the season and she was like episode one having a meltdown about him being with other women. And I'm like, oh, it's not going to go well for Cindy. She rallied.
I forgot that was her.
She rallied. And she's really kept it together. She hasn't had any other moments where she's like crying and can't push through. She hasn't had conversations about it. She really like was like, you know what? I know what show I'm on. I had my conversation with Kathy. That really helped me. Yeah. I've rallied it together. And now I'm just focusing on mine and Mel's relationship. And that was some fast growth.
I agree. Completely agree.
Shout out to her.
Yeah, we thought she was going to not be cut out for this and she's been killing it.
No. And also, shout out to Mel. He comes out, he's wearing a rainbow shirt. And what I've noticed about Mel, it's a pastel rainbow shirt. This man is willing to wear some bright colors. Mm. And considering everything about Mel, you know, just the football player, the attorney, often, you know, in his age, boomer, often men like that will let their fragile masculinity be like, a color? That color's for girls. Yeah. This color's for boys. Right. The man wears pinks and pastels and all this. Impressive. And I just want to say shout out to that
shout
as well.
Shout out to him.
Because he looks great in it.
He does.
He looks great in it. Now, they go on a boat ride. Sick. And he tells Cindy, he says, hey, I'm going to take you swim with stingrays. Have you ever done that before? And she's like, yeah, actually, I have.
That was really funny. That was where she messed up. She just said, no, I never done that. Oh, my God, that's amazing. Right? Just like saying he's charismatic. You should have said no. Because it was funny to have him be like, I'm going to take you on this thing, even though it wasn't set up by me. I'm going to take you on this epic adventure. Are you ready? Ready to go? And she's like, yeah, I've done it like 15 times. Like every year I do it. Like, oh, okay.
But she makes up for it when she says, well, here we are. Because every day is an adventure with Mel. And I'm like, again.
Who are you? What are you talking about?
I don't know who you're referring to. But also, I think those adventures are producers. Yes. Cindy has a similar Cheryl Disney princess energy. They are both Disney princesses. They're just like, Cheryl is like Snow White.
Yes.
And Cindy is like Sleeping Beauty.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Those are kind of, they're kind of giving Snow White. Cheryl is, la.
Yeah, the birds are doing her hair.
And
vibes.
Cheryl's a little more like coming down the stairs, yes. like, hello to my lovely kingdom. It is I and my Prince Charming.
Oh, no, you switched it. You said Cheryl.
I mean, yeah, Cindy.
Cindy is, yeah. Cindy's a little bit more like.
It's like the regal, like,
yeah,
the
running
princess.
The kingdom energy versus Cheryl's definitely like, who me? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And Cindy showed us some
fearlessness,
some 10 out of 10 Disney princess to animal energy when they pulled up.
Second time in a row.
They pulled up to the stingrays and she hopped out and those stingrays were trying to get into her skin.
It was so cool.
A Disney princess moment because those stingrays were like, oh, it's our mother.
Yes.
And she will take care of us for eternity. It is Mother Earth and she is taking care of us. And she was laughing and loving it. And it was quite majestic.
It's so funny because then obviously we go over to Mel, who's terrified of all animals, hates animals, not into it, doesn't love this at all, freaking him out. Again, just in the same energy as never turn around, he doesn't bend to like, this is embarrassing. So he just stays 30 feet away and just sits there.
And they ask him maybe 50 times.
The guys who are running it literally goes, this is a once in a lifetime experience. And he's like, for you, maybe. Like, I don't give a shit about this. Get me out of here. Get me back to the Four Seasons. I'm at the pool with a drink. I want nothing to do with this.
And he gives them all one word answers. So when she's like, Mel, come a little closer. No. The guy, hey Mel, why don't you check out? They're really gentle. If you just no,
yeah, it was very funny.
And then she even has to
unshakable.
Say, she even has to say, she goes, well, if you get closer, please don't kick them.
Yeah, like you're kind of freaking me out now. And but I loved how she called his ass out in the ITM. She's like, this is the second time now with animals that I'm like fearless, and he's like terrified.
Yeah, she goes, 6'3" football player Mel Owens,
scared of
She's
everything.
Like, first it was the horses, now it's the stingrays. Evan,
it was very funny.
I fear. Cindy got the ick.
There was a little energy in that.
I fear Cindy got the ick.
Cindy's kind of like...
She didn't like it.
It's like he's really not an adventure guy. Like, where's this adventure he keeps talking about? Is there something he gets adventurous about that I'm unfamiliar with? Because I have
totally,
not seen anything adventurous
I completely
yet.
Respect someone who's like, look at me. I'm not an adventurous person. I respect someone
who's
like...
But you don't go around going, I need more adventure in my life.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to be authentic to
so
who
like,
you are.
What is the adventure he's talking about? I think he's talking about...
Hot young
fucking in the bathroom of a bar. I think that's the adventure. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's talking about, I want to be on top of a mountain.
No.
I want to like, you know what I mean?
Like, I want to be part of the Mile High Club.
Exactly.
That's his.
I think he mistook adventure for like.
Sexual escapades.
Yes. I think he said sexual, and they cut it. Like, you say adventure? He's like, sure. So all these women are like, oh, he likes adventure and energy. And then they're giving him all that. And he's like, no, that's not what I meant.
But I think Cindy got the ick a little bit.
There was a little bit of that. She kind of called his ass out in the ITM. She's like,
And you could tell blue. She wasn't like, it
so
wasn't
same
like.
Same with Peg with the driving. Mm-hmm. She was kind of like, I can't wait for him to get out so that I can drive.
Yeah. They were like, it's not for me.
Yeah.
And I think Cindy, though, because Cindy obviously is like Disney princess. Like, oh, he's the love of my life. He's my moon and my stars.
She's in love with the concept of Mel, not actually Mel.
But when she then that happened, and she's like, first it's the horse and now the stingrays. And this man won't budge with the stingrays. He won't budge.
No, he's not even going to. I'm just going to figure this out.
And these are my animal children. She in the ITMs was not like giggling about it. She was like, ugh.
Yeah. No.
And then, lest us not forget, then all of a sudden she kind of shifts the energy. And now we're having these later dinner sit downs where she's like kind of putting the heat on.
It
and
was
she's
no
a little
longer
bit like,
you're my king.
No. And I think it's because she kind of got the ick and realization dawned where it's like, again, I think Cindy, I agree with what you're saying, Evan. I think you like the idea of what this could be.
Peg is not at all into this experience. She's actually checking Mel out and being like, is this a possibility?
Yes.
Maybe. I think so. I think I'm kind of falling for him. But again, like, we'll see. Cindy was like, you could have put anyone there and she'd fall in love with him.
Because I love
it's
the
like,
idea.
I like the concept of this experience going well.
Yes.
And this guy's tall and handsome.
Yes.
So that's something
that's
I like.
That's a great plus.
But other than that, there is like, she's forcing. She keeps saying like, we have undeniable. She's trying to force the energy a little bit.
So,
but then at this dinner, we're getting a totally new side of her.
This is what I kind of think happened. Because obviously like after they had the the stingray moment, and he would not interact with the stingrays.
Zero.
They have like a little bit of a more serious...
Would you have done the stingray thing?
Of course. Yeah,
I just was double checking. I was thinking to myself, it could be spooky, I guess, depending on who you are. But I was like, I feel like you'd love it. I just was like...
I have an appreciation and a healthy respect for animals.
Sure.
But if they're in like a safe environment, if the animals are being taken care of, and I'm like, I'm 100% down to do whatever. Now, going in a helicopter is going to be a hard pass for me.
Way scarier.
And they
to me.
Always want to throw like them nothing. In a goddamn helicopter. And I'd be like, no, I can't
go. Swimming with the sharks is way less scarier.
On a helicopter. I was talking with one of my best friends, Ari, who's been on this podcast before. And she was talking about how if she would go on The Bachelor because she's a single gal, she's like, I don't think I actually could. Like, if I got cast for it, I don't think I could go on it because of, like, helicopter, bungee jumping, all this stuff. I'm like, what we don't think about often is how daring a lot of these people are. Like, I'm not going to bungee jump. Mm. You know what? We got to give some respect for these reality TV contestants who are out there doing really daring shit. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't get cast because I'm like, no, I won't. Here's my list of no's that I'm not going to do.
And they're like, that's all the stuff we freak people out about.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So... I'm like,
shucks, babe.
Too bad. I won't be able to get on
it. Also, you're married. Forget about it.
But they end up having like this like more serious talk on the boat. And that's when she was like, oh, you know, you draw people to you. And you really did that in my hometown and da 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 da. And he says like, well, you know, I like you a lot. So that's a big deal. Yeah. And then she's like, yeah, well, we don't have a lot of time. I think.
She's like, you need to be more than that.
I think in this moment, she got the ick. She was questioning him after having conversations with her daughter after hometown. But she's pushing the idea because she does want the idea of it. Yeah. So she's like, you're charismatic. You're wonderful. She's trying to like convince
to, like,
herself.
Ooze it up. Yeah.
But I think in this moment, I believe that she got the ick and is like, I don't think this is my guy. And then when they had their conversation later, we'll talk about it in a moment. When they had their conversation later and he did what he did in that conversation, I think she simultaneously was like creating a pathway out for herself if she doesn't want to be with him, and also creating a pathway for herself to be the next bachelorette.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I respect it because, to be honest with you,
she was doing those ITMs differently.
She was doing the ITMs differently.
They were more like kind of her posture was a little more straight up, and she was a little bit like, and that's how I feel.
And you know our journey together.
Yeah, it was like,
she was a little bit like,
today,
I don't think this is my guy.
I'm going to start positioning
myself. I'm positioning myself to be the next bachelorette, and I respect it. Because to be honest, if I were to start the season going and already knowing that the lead had said, I want women of this younger age, I'd be like, well, you know what? I'm not going to find love on this season, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take advantage
maybe of find my future
of Instagram followers, and maybe I could set myself up to be the next golden bachelor, where I can meet a bunch of potentially great eligible men.
Correct.
Because I really want to find passion and romance. And I think what she was doing is, I think she started the way that she went into questions with him in this conversation for dinner was her angling herself to be bachelorette.
To make, they were bachelorette almost give questions. Him questions she knew he couldn't answer,
and
to
it
make
was,
it look like she's the then left brokenhearted. She's the one that was kind of screwed over energy.
Well, and it also just allowed it to be like for herself and for the audience to see, here are all the things I want, and he's not willing to bend the knee for any of them. So of course now I have to walk away, because if you actually
go ahead.
Because what I'm saying, if you actually look at the questions that were had, it was a little bit like, you're having this conversation now after you've declared in ITMs that he's like the sun, moon, and stars.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels to me. And again, I respect it.
This is when the calling out started on that boat ride back, because she goes, so like, you know, I've been sharing a lot about me, and you have know a lot about me now. Or like, you know, I've shared a lot about me, and I can't wait for tonight to get to know about you. Kind of basically saying like, here's your moment to tell me about you. And she's kind of like, and she leaves it like, go ahead, start. And he goes, I'm open. Like, ask away. Literally. So he didn't even hit her with like the, oh, okay, I'm getting the cue. Let me tell you a couple things. He's literally like, yeah, go for it.
Go for it.
And she's like, okay.
Try your best.
Like, so I got to keep asking questions. So it was like the start before the dinner of the, like, I'm setting the table quote for dinner.
Yeah.
for what dinner's going to be, which is the moment that we start really digging in.
Yes.
And it was hilarious when she's like, and I've told you a lot about myself. And so what about you? And he's just like, I'm open.
Yeah.
Ask away.
Yeah. Take your best shot.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, I don't, that was not really the point. The point was that you start telling me.
Yeah. Give me a little help
yes,
here.
Yes, exactly.
Let's talk about this dinner because this dinner conversation was truly unbelievable. But first, we got to take one more quick pause. Family, so I think most of these Goldens are out of like the child parenting stage, but I think they'd remember one of the hard parts can be getting their kiddos to take their vitamins. Okay. We had this journey ourselves with Ember for the longest time. She would tell us that the vitamins tasted gross, which I get. Or the other option we didn't want her to take because most of the other kids' vitamins are basically candy in disguise filled with sugar, chemicals, and that weird gummy additive. But all that changed when we found Hiya. Oh my gosh, we are so, so grateful for Hiya. These are the super-powered chewable vitamins made with zero sugar and zero gummy junk, and somehow they still taste great. Ember legit asks for her Hiya vitamins every morning because she actually loves the taste. And to have your kid ask for their vitamins every morning is a huge win. We are so unbelievably grateful, okay? Plus, with your first order, you get this cool bottle, and then they send you eco-friendly refills every month. But hers came with stickers, so your kids get to decorate the bottle themselves. Ember went on full art project mode, and she spelled out Vitamin Queen on hers, which... it's quite iconic.
What do you love? Yeah, Hiya's the best. They fill in the most common gaps in modern kids' diets to give them the nourishment they need and a flavor they actually enjoy. It's made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, plus 15 essential vitamins and minerals to help support immune system, energy, brain function, and all the good stuff growing kids need. And they're clean label, project certified, and third-party tested for heavy metals and microbials, so you know they're safe and also nutritious.
And Hiya's made for kids 2 and up. It's non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, nut-free, allergy-free. It's amazing. And again, you get that first cool bottle and then they send you eco-friendly refills every month. So it's easy, sustainable, and something that you don't have to think about. Oh, also, are you tired of battling with your kids to eat their greens? Hiya now has kids daily greens plus superfoods, a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids packed with 55 plus whole food ingredients that support brain power, development, and digestion. Just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. Ember loves this, and she gets all that in it. Oh my gosh. Again, just so grateful as a parent here. So grateful for Hiya. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/mom and dad. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/mom and dad and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Okay, so on to the night portion of Mel and Cindy's potential. We'll see if it happens overnight date. So he starts it off by, I do have to shout out him. He says, thank you. He thanks her for taking care of him during the stingrays. And you know what? I did appreciate that because I know that, you know, again, with sometimes men of a certain age.
Yeah, and like, oh, I was fun. I just didn't want to.
The fragile masculinity.
He's very safe in that vibe.
He
said the same thing about Peg when she was driving. Like, he's cool with not being, he's cool with kind of being afraid, I guess.
Yeah. He's like, I fear nothing.
Right. It's more like he's cool with not being in control, maybe.
Yeah. Or having a woman help, like, take care of him, like, in a way when he's afraid of something.
It would be classically the dude takes.
Boomer, you know, guy exactly. Being like, I didn't need that.
Exactly.
So I thought that was nice.
That is a positive.
There were a couple moments.
100%.
There was also another moment earlier when he was in the dune buggy with Peg and he was like, I mean, look at her. Her hair, her curls, her sweat. I mean, what else would a man want? I was like, that was kind of romantic.
She's very natural, he said.
But he said something about like her curls coming undone through her sweat, and it was kind of a romantic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Again, I see what you're saying.
I guess when you don't get a lot from somebody.
But I agree. It was
then yeah. you're like, wow. But it kind of was a rose.
It was nice. It was a romantic vibe.
You like talked about like her sweat and her hair. And yeah. I don't know. But then it took a turn because I don't think Cindy wanted to be getting thanked for protecting him from the stingrays. I think she was a little bit like, well, you vicked me out, sir, and it's time to answer my questions. She's like, so what's the deal with us two women left? Like, where are you at? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, it's just a tough position. I'm still working it out. I like you a lot. That's not the problem. There's another person. So I can't tell you that we're going to be happily ever after if there's another person.
Yeah.
Which... Again, respect.
100%.
Like, not dishonest. The way, this is the problem, Mel. It's the way in which you're communicating these things. It's like cold, not attached. It feels like it's like a business memo. So when a woman is like, well, there's another woman, if you can kind of just emotion up a little bit by being like, I can't imagine what you're going through. Like, that has to be so overwhelming. And I wish I could give you more of an answer. But right now, I don't want to put you in a position where I'm going to hurt your heart by saying yes when there is someone else here. I don't want to be dishonest. Yeah. And I want to keep our relationship, like, honest and transparent. Like, if you word things a little more gently instead of just being like, yeah, I don't know. There's another person here, so can't give you anything to convince you or say something to you that's then going to be a lie later. It's like,
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 100%. No, I mean, he's very efficient in his answers. He's one word, you can't get more efficient than that. No, but I agree. He is setting the like, hey, I don't want this to get out of control. I don't want you to think something that's not true. I don't want to give you grounds to feel like I led you on in some weird way. Like, he is very good at that.
He's an attorney.
He is very.
True. He's like, you're not going to catch me.
You're not going to catch me. So you can sue me later for love bombing you. But no. Yeah. So that's very, like, he's very communicative in that way. And he's also very honest in that way. So he's not like leading people on and telling them what they want to hear. So.
Because then she's like, okay, well, let's put the other person aside. Where do you see the potential of you and I? And he's like, well, first of all, no matter what, this relationship needs to develop over time.
Yeah.
He said, but outside of that, quote unquote, who knows? Which is, again, maybe the first time we've ever heard a lead on this show ever at the night of the Fantasy Suites look at a contestant and when they say, how do you feel about me? And your answer is, who knows?
Who knows? Iconic.
Who could say?
Who could say? Who could say?
Really, who could say?
And this is where he gets into like this whole, I'm here to meet someone. And then she, because it becomes a leap of faith thing. She's like, well, he's like, you know, I don't do leaps of faith. Like, my whole thing is calculated. Effective, whatever. And she's like, this whole thing's a leap of faith. So this is where you really start to see the like difference of approach where she's like, I flew to LA to meet a strange man who might steal my heart. Yeah. That's a leap of faith.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I signed up for a show where there's a lot of women. I am hedging my bets and there's a good chance I'll meet one because it's 1 versus 20, versus 30, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's for you, a leap of faith, you know, because it's 1 versus 30. But like, it's not really a leap of faith for me. And I'm just looking to meet someone. And she's kind of like, this is when like she's kind of like, oh, wait, are we not getting with the show? Like, did you not know that there's an engagement here? Like, I'm just like, she actually even said, I got to ask you a question. Like, didn't you know there's going to be an engagement? And he goes like, that's not really what I was focusing on. I'm looking for a partner.
It's not even that. It wasn't even like what I'm focusing on. She's like, you know, you join the show where there's an engagement in the end. Is that not a leap of faith for you? And he's
kind of like,
well, you see him get flustered and he goes, no, in the show, you're searching for a partner. That's what this is.
Right.
And if the partner is at the end of the journey, well, then there it is.
Right.
And I'm like, did something?
He denies the plot. He just denied it.
He deaded the plot.
He just said, no.
It's the way
I'm doing my own thing.
It's the way that he refuses to interact with the stingrays. He's like, no.
This is a dating service.
He goes, this is my own personal dating service that just happens to be getting filmed.
This is Millionaire Matchmaker, where I just like meet a bunch of women in a mixer. And then at some point, I take one on a date.
Now, do you think this is Mel putting his foot down and being like, I won't be budged? Or do you think that production and whoever... basically kind of loosely explained to Mel, like, listen, you could get engaged at the end, or if not, like, you walk away with somebody that you might be interested in dating. Do you think, what do you think it is?
I think he hasn't really watched the show.
Okay.
And I think that when he signed up, they're like, and at the end, there's an engagement. And he goes, like, well, anything, well, what if I don't want to get engaged? Well, that's going to be up to you. Mm. And so he goes, okay.
So then he created his own narrative.
Yeah, like
a little
in
bit.
His mind, he's kind of like, they encourage you.
Yes.
Versus she's watched 20 years of the show. She goes, there's massive shame if you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's never been done where they don't energy. Yeah. And he's kind of going, oh, it's a show where they encourage it. And if you fall in love that deeply, you have it. But if not, it's not a big deal. And she's going like, no, it's never been done. It'll be insanely shameful. I'm not going to be the one woman in history who doesn't get engaged. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what's happening. And he's like, huh?
Oh, it just was mind boggling to me because then they're going back and forth because then she's a little bit like, well, why? Oh, then she starts asking him the questions of like, well, why did you wait to get married?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know,
he grabbed his neck. He went, oh, <He's> like that. He literally goes, that's the first time I ever seen him sweat. She goes, because he's giving her the whole spiel. And then he's like, yeah, but then why did you wait 20 years to get married or whatever? And he's like, can I get some water? He goes, well, and he goes, I don't know. He said, I don't know.
He goes, I don't know. It wasn't the right time. I don't do things casually. And she's like, well, okay, so you used your intuition and you took the time. And then 25 years later, like me, it didn't work out. So clearly what you did the last time didn't work. So why are you not willing to shift your perspective and try something new this time?
And then
time?
He flips it. He goes, well, 25 years is a pretty good run. I mean, I don't know why you're shaming that. Like, if you did a 25-year business, that's pretty dang successful.
He's like, it would be like, you know, if I proposed and 6 months later, I was like, hey, guys, it didn't work out. He goes, no, we were together for 25 years. Yeah. So that wasn't a leap of faith.
Right.
That was me using my intuition. It did work for a long time. So
that was me taking 40 years to make up my decision. And then it worked.
And she right away goes, she goes, this is very insightful.
Yeah,
thank you.
This is
which,
like,
by the way, what a powerful statement to like, as he's scrambling and she's actually cornering him with like very good questions where he goes, where she then goes, this is very insightful.
He's like, oh. God, he's like,
well, she says in ITM, so that was interesting. She was like, you know, I see this hesitancy and I feel like it's like seeing a shadow of the hurt that he experienced in life.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a very lovely, generous perspective from her instead of it being like, why the hell is this guy here if he's not willing to do the bachelor thing, to be like, you know what? This is a shadow of like hurt that he's experienced, which is very likely true. Again, I know that you're a little bit like, oh, he just doesn't have that gear. I think that
why does everyone have to be multi-layered, open, dynamic, right? It's kind of like,
because that's what human beings are.
Not all of them. You remember that guy in high school who was just like, whoa, like that guy's just chilling. He's just surfing and he just wants to make enough money to buy a little weed and surf. Maybe he's not this just like, oh, and he has so many thoughts. It's like, maybe he doesn't. Not everyone's like, you know, philosophizing their own existence.
Oh, well, she wonders, she starts wondering, you know, is it me? Does he have a tighter relationship with Peg?
Sure. She's struggling not to be very comparative. That seems to be her kind of her narrative.
She's like, or is this who he is? Like, I'm trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So that I wrote that down where it's like, this is the problem. The problem is that she wants, like we said earlier, I think she wants a fireplace and fireworks. I think she wants her full love story. But I think that she'd be willing to just go full fireworks if he was like, I'm going to sweep you off your feet and it's going to be the passionate love affair of the century, without even him being Mr. Commitment Guy. Even if he wasn't like, I'm going to marry you, I'm going to whatever. I think she'd get caught up if he was simply being like, you're the most beautiful, incredible woman I've ever seen. My heart is just pounding for you. I think she'd be like, okay, we're good. And then I think eventually, of course, I believe she'd want more because I think she wants a full love story. But because he's not giving either of those things, then it's like, what exactly am I doing here? And then he says to her, or she says to him, excuse me, how do we move forward? And he says, quote, if there's a will, there's a way. And I said, thanks, coach. That's not something you want to hear four dates in. That's the type of, that's
if there's a will, there's a way. That's so crazy. I don't know what that means.
That's the type of advice that it's like.
You try hard enough.
You've been together for 10, 15 years, and you guys are going through a rough patch, and you go, if there's a will, there's a way. Like, we want to be with each other, so we're going to figure out how to, like, go through therapy and do this together, even though we're really struggling. Yeah. But you're 4 dates in.
Yeah.
And you say, well, where do we go from here? Because we're on different pages. And the person says, if there's a will, there's a way. And
it's fantastic.
Not what you want to hear.
Love it. It's so funny.
And that's how it ends.
Yeah.
That's how this ends.
I personally think, just cutting ahead, I think this whole thing is a little bit of a, the producers are trying to make us doubt her and him.
And then they're going to end up together?
Yeah, I think it's a done deal. I think they're the ones that are together. I think that I think she wants more. But I also think that, like, they're trying to kind of make Peg look like a possibility. And I think he likes her a lot. But I think the reality is like, he's a calculated guy. He's not an emotion-driven guy. And I think he looks at Cindy and goes, our lives sync up perfectly.
Well, what they did
do. I have handsome sons. You have beautiful daughters. You live in the city and have a high rise. I live in the city of Newport and have a house. We have similar vibes. Probably like have talked about restaurants they like. Peg is way too adventurous. Free. Probably likes to camp. He's like, fuck camping. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just getting like he's calculating this very much.
What they did do where they give us a preview for next week that kind of bummed me out is they kind of. We had had like teasers of him, right, sitting staring at the fireworks alone. And so I'm like, does Cindy leave? Does she walk
but
away?
But then they also see him on the beach with his ring in his hand. So
I know, but okay, so here's a couple things. So number one, we see him, he's sitting alone, fireworks are exploding. We haven't seen that scene yet. So at some point he's sitting, fireworks exploding by himself.
Yeah.
There was a clip earlier in the season where Jesse is talking to him, I think, in that same seat. And Jesse's like, I think she's coming back. So this is my guess. I think Cindy gets up when he pulls out the fantasy suite thing. I think she's like, I need a moment to think about it, and like walks away. And then I think they're going to lead you to think that she's leaving. And then they bring her back. I thought maybe Cindy was going to go, like, leave. But I feel like they kind of ruined it, because in the preview, then you see Mel telling Peg about his great overnight with Cindy.
Yeah, confessing.
And he wants to be transparent. So I was like, okay, well, it's like, okay, well, he hooks up with Cindy, yes. Probably. That's the vibe that we're getting. But I could not believe that we have even Mel, who's Mr. Like, I reveal nothing.
Yeah.
That all these men always go and say, so just FYI, hooked up with this person. And I'm like, did you get consent from the other woman to talk about it? Okay.
Yeah, unless they're like asking, and they always do it too. They're never like, did you hook up with her last night? It's always like, just
every
so
once
you know.
In a while, but not
in
often.
General. It's just like, I'm just telling you all the details. It's a little bit like it's insinuated. The details are insinuated.
I just have a feeling that Cindy wasn't like, go ahead and like talk about our intimate time with the producers and or Peg. I just have a feeling.
And also Peg doesn't have to be someone that's like grilling him about like what happened last. No. You know what I mean?
But it's just like, I don't know what's with these men where it's just like, hey, they didn't give you consent to share something very intimate and private. That's why it's a closed door. That's why it's fantasy suite and things are insinuated. They don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to bring it up. And if you do, you got to get their permission. I just have a feeling, like most of the bachelors, he's not going to get that permission. I cannot. Yeah. So we shall see. Now, what you said is that he was holding a ring.
Maybe.
Sure, he's holding a ring.
He throws it in the ocean.
He's like, this isn't for me. What I do think we need to note, though, is I'm pretty sure we haven't seen a proposal area yet. You know how you always see
them waiting?
Them standing on the platform?
Yeah, true.
I don't think in any clip we've seen Mel standing on a platform.
True.
So I kind of think there's no proposal.
I mean, all signs point to that.
It just has to be, right?
But the question is, does he leave with someone?
This is my guess.
Or does it just kind of all end?
I think...
Because I feel like Jesse would have said at this point, a finale we've never seen.
This is what I think happens. I think Peg leaves. I think he stays with Cindy, but he doesn't propose to Cindy. I think he's like, hey, I'm not ready to propose, but I do want to do this with you. And she says, okay. And I think that after the final rose, they will not be together anymore.
Yeah, that feels...
That's my guess.
I like that. I love that. That feels correct.
And if they are together
after... shows up with like a 25-year-old girl, like at the reunion.
One, an ex-bachelor contestant.
Yeah. And he's
He's
like,
with Kat. She's left Dale and she's...
He's with Kat. And they're like, listen, it's not about age. We just found a connection. That'd be, I mean, iconic. So if you're going to do it all the way. Never look back.
Now, I do think that if he does end up with Cindy and they're not engaged and they show up at the reunion and they're, or that the live after the final rose and they're still together, I'm going to give it 2 months.
Okay.
It's going to end quickly.
Yeah.
But I do think that, I don't think that Cindy will pass up a potential opportunity for bachelorette vibes.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, with Peg, I think would be a really fun bachelorette, but I don't know if Peg, if they want to have like a season.
Peg's not a bachelorette.
I think if they want to have a season where someone gets engaged, I don't think they should choose Peg, because I could see Peg going through the whole thing and being like, yeah, I connect with the guys, but like, I didn't meet my person. And
Peg's
so,
not in on this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cindy 100%
I think if they.
She wants the lifestyle.
They got to choose a Cindy or a Debbie if they want an engagement at the
she
end.
She wants after the show to be doing what the other ladies are doing, where they're like dropping in and they're going to have a podcast. Also, she wants the full experience. Peg is like definitely not that style. And so Cindy would not be a bad choice for that. You know what I mean? If you want someone to kind of own it.
Something to think about.
Interesting.
Well, family, we shall see what happens
next
week.
This was actually a great episode because of all the non, like, you know what I mean? Like,
it,
like, it actually made for a fun watch just because his ability, like, again, it's like the awkward silences run from him energy.
I'm telling you, this last hometown episode and then this episode, in a weird way, I didn't enjoy watching it for like the romance factor.
No, not for their sake. But
and I understand then too, like as a view, I get why a viewer would be like, I did not enjoy that.
If you watch the show for true love, this was not your episode.
But I did enjoy watching the hometowns and this episode for history.
Mm-hmm.
It was so historic being like, this
is
never.
It can't get worse than this.
It's never been done. So I just need to.
So next season will probably be ripping awesome because we're so used. We've lowered our expectations and our standards so low now.
If
the lead says more than we'll be like, whoa.
Part of me thinks that this season might have tanked the Golden Bachelor in its entirety.
Yeah.
I think it might not get picked up again because the numbers are so low.
Agreed.
And that people like are just so not attached to
this. They're like, this is brutal.
So I don't know if I think the Golden Bachelor might have sunk. And because Mel just stuck his heels in and he was like, I won't touch that stingray. The Golden Bachelor sings.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the Golden Bachelorette that'll stay.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We've got some question marks coming up because with that being said, I just saw that Taylor Frankie Paul's season, which will be historic as Bachelorette, isn't airing until March 22nd.
Right.
And I don't think they're going to do a Bachelor.
Right.
So we're going to go with a long gap, family, with no Bachelor content, which is sad, but also I'm excited about because I think your father and Maya's plan, they're starting Secret Lives of Mormon Wives season 3 like next week.
Yeah.
I think starting in the new year, we're going to go through
like all of it.
Secret Lives of Mormon Wives seasons 1, 2, 3 to prepare ourselves mind, body, and soul for Taylor Frankie Paul. So we know going in who she is and know details about her and how we feel about her and all these things.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that. But I don't know this whole, it's all very unprecedented, like where we're heading with this
territory.
Franchise. So we'll see. So tune in next week for this historic finale of the Golden Bachelor, which might be your last Golden Bachelor finale ever after fucking GGT and now Mel. This might be the last. So tune in next week on Friday for our recap of the finale. But before that, tune in next week on Wednesday for a Dungeons and Dragons episode with a potentially very small,
guest.
Very special guest. And I think we're going to be possibly also to bringing new characters in. Yes. As we'll be new characters. Yes. We'll be a new campaign, new a new cast with this little individual. So tune in on Wednesday for that.
Love you all.
All right, family. Bye. Love you. Bye.